morning.
A little bit more excitement this morning. Good morning. All right, there we go. Hey. Good to have you guys here with me this morning, man. My name is John Holtorf. I'm lead pastor here, part of the teaching team. It's great to see those of you that are in person, and those that are online. It's great to have you guys online as well. Before we get going this morning, I just want to reiterate, if you didn't hear it at the very beginning, at the 10 before, on October 30th, that Friday, we're doing a trunk or treat here on the property. And there's a few different things, absolutely. There's a few different things that we want to make sure you're aware of, and we would love to, one, have you invite people and be part of that if you want to. If you get into that and you really love to decorate a trunk, we would invite you to come be part of that. We're looking to have as many trunks as we can to get all decorated, to have a really a great outreach for the kids. And please know that this is really the whole point of all of this, is to reach out into our community, to really provide something for the kids of our community and be able to bless them that way. So encourage you, if that's something that you would love to do, we would love to have you there. If you just want to come be part of things, like be able to say, hey, I'd be willing to direct some traffic, to help make sure that we're ensuring social distancing, anything like that, look up Spencer. Send him an email, spencer@nhills.org. He would love to be able to connect with you and find a place for you to serve on that night. The other thing that we're looking for is just donations of candy. If you want to participate that way, you can do that as well. All right? Well, hey, let's dive in this morning. We are in week 3 of our series, Changes That Heal, and really diving into this. And I'm going to ask you a question this morning, and I want you to be really, really honest with yourselves. And this has been a really good exercise for us as a staff as well, because we've been going through this as a staff. And it's been each week really looking at some things to go, man, really, what am I, if I'm honest with myself in this area of my life, how can I grow? How can I help myself take steps to be changes that heal? So the question I have for you this morning is, how much control do you have? And first of all, how much control do you desire of the things around you? How much control? Who likes to have control? The other part of that is, how much control do you really have? I know for me, you know, I think, and probably many of us are in the same situation, we like to have control, right? We're like, oh man, I've got control of my family. I've got control of my kids. Yeah, good luck with that. I've got control of the situations around me. I've got control of my health. I'm in good health, and I'm able to do, you know, what I want to do there. I'm able to control the things that I have, and I've got pretty good control of all of those things. Well, I'm not saying control is a bad thing, and we're going to come back to that here in just a bit. But I think many of us like to have control. But I think one of the things that's happened through COVID-19 is that we realize that we don't have as much control as we thought we did. I mean, things are just like, okay, here goes another thing. What does that look like? But see, this isn't the first time for me that I realized that I don't have control. I've been married for 28 years this December, and my wife is great. She's the best thing that ever happened to me. She shows me love and joy and this compassion, and she shows it to others. And if you know her, you know that about her. That's just who she is. And one of the things I love the most about her is her love for me and her love for me and the fact that she tolerates my desire for control. The truth is that deep down inside, I know that I'm not in control. From the day that I met her, the day that I saw her, she had me hooked. She had me on strings. She has control. There's, as much as I know that that's just the reality of the whole situation. But here's the deal. She was loving enough to let me hold on to the illusion of control. Like, she let me think that I had it all going on here, that I had a little bit of the control. We just know that that's just not true. And I think it was along the way, and you can call me slow, and that's probably true. After 28 years, I finally got into the spot where I realized that that's not true. And I think it was like, all of a sudden, I'm like, gosh, you know what, John? You don't have any control in here. And the reality has been, I've been in therapy ever since, but I'm working on it, trying to get through it. No, I'm just really kidding. But here, any other guys resonate with me? You know, if you say otherwise, let me just tell you, man, be thankful that you're still in that season of life where you're holding on to the illusion of control. It will go away, I promise you. But really, I think as I've grown older and as I've had more experience, I think at some point along the way, I've come to realize that I can't control what others say. I can't control what others do. Yes, I can have influence on it, but I can't control it. But I think we still try to control others, don't we? As I was doing some work this last week and getting ready for this message, I was kind of looking at even how we do this with our neighbors sometimes and how we try to control some of the things, maybe even a little bit passive aggressive in some of the things that we do. For example, has anybody seen the Wi-Fi battles and that they have posted on all the different social media platforms? Something like this. Let's put up the first image. So you can see this is a Wi-Fi network, and you can name your Wi-Fi network. So you can see the one that says that your music is annoying, and it's U'RE. Now, if you're a teacher, you're cringing right now because you know that really says your music is annoying. And so you're like, well, wait, that's not really the case. But I love how the neighbor responded, and it's probably the one whose music is a little bit annoying, that says your grammar is more annoying. So there's always those things. So, and that's kind of maybe a little bit more of a simple way of doing it. Maybe not everyone sees that. But then you have also neighbors like this that would post this on the stairwell going up the stairs. Let's put up the next image. It's coming. I know. Here we go. There we go. It says, upstairs neighbor's favorite shoes, and they are some flip-flops that are made out of concrete. And I don't know if you've ever lived in an apartment complex where the person above you think, what are they? Is it King Kong that's up there or whatever else? You just hear them stomping everything going along there. So maybe that's the way that they decided to handle that piece. Sometimes we have the opportunity to respond to our neighbors and their displeasure with maybe some things that they want to do in our lives or how they want to control our lives. And here's a couple of neighbors' responses that I came across. First neighbor posted something, I'm guessing on the neighbor's door, that said this, please do something about the dandelions in your yard. Please. Now, you look at this and you're like, well, it was nice that they said please twice. You know, they were asking really nicely. And so the response I thought was pretty nice too, well thought through. And they put this up, free dandelions, take as many as you like. And I love the fact that they actually put a little smiley face on the end, because when you put a smiley face on the end, it makes everything better, right? So that worked out really well. The last one that I have for you, I think this probably isn't what neighbor Bob was really thinking about when he was asking his neighbor to paint his fence. But then he put this one, says, look, Bob, I painted my fence. Again, with a smiley face on it. This fairly passive aggressive, I think, in the way that they're doing these things. But I think if we're honest with ourselves, we realize that, man, we can't control the things around us. We can't control so much of the world that goes on around us. And the reality is that you look at everything that happens in the world, we think, gosh, oh man, does the world just revolve around me? And I can make everything happen the way I want it to do. And it's just not true. See, the sun does actually rise and set on its own. We can't speed it up. We can't slow it down. But that's really the reality of all the situations around us. But as I mentioned earlier, having control or wanting control is not a bad thing. See, God created us to have control. But the control that he created for us and he designed us to have was self-control. One of the best ways for us to grow in our self-control is for us to understand and to put boundaries in our life. So that's what we're going to be really leaning in today, is about talking about boundaries and self-control. And do you realize that God is a God of boundaries? It started way back in even Adam and Eve. When they were put in this garden, God said to them, he said, hey, here's this beautiful garden, this incredible place. It's lush. It has everything you want. You can enjoy everything. But only thing we want you need to stay away from is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was a boundary that he set in place for their self-control. And we see all throughout the Bible all kinds of different things. We see Moses coming down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments. Those were boundaries that were given to us to be able to keep things under control. And it's not just Old Testament things as well. We see in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church in Galatia, he lays out the realities of not having boundaries of self-control and living in a broken world. He said this, Galatians 5:19 through 23, it says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, and wild parties, and other sins like these. All kinds of different things that he puts on. Let's say all of these things are about not having boundaries in your world. But Paul went on to reveal to us and say, hey, when you have the Holy Spirit directing your life, we see the fruits of the Spirit. And those are this, verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and what? Self-control.
There's no law against these things. See, setting boundaries in our lives can be a powerful means of self-control that can lead to changes that heal in our lives. So how good are you at setting boundaries in your life? To even know where to start, I think we need to first start by defining what I mean by a boundary. And I think probably the easiest way to illustrate this is to think of a property line. As you think about a property line of maybe it's a place that you rent or a place that you own, but there's a property line that pretty much is distinguished around that property. It delineates where your property starts and stops and where the neighbor's properties are as well. In your house today, I don't know if it's like mine, but many of us have fences around the outside of our property that delineates our property line. It says, hey, this is my property and that's my neighbor's property. The fence lets me know that if I want to do something, if I want to plant a tree, for example, or if I want to build a shed, I need to build it within the boundary of my property, within that fence line. And it tells us, hey, this is a side here on my property where I can say yes to things that I want to. And on the other side, I have to say no because I don't have the rights to be able to do that. See, in our own lives, we need to have personal boundaries as well. Boundaries that say, hey, this is where my responsibility stops and your responsibility starts. So when it comes to self-control and boundaries in our lives, there are three things that we need to do. The first thing that we need to do is that we need to recognize our need for boundaries. See, boundaries keep us in bounds. They help keep us in balance. And you think about how boundaries are the key to so many things in our lives. I mean, they're the key to our relationships. Think about our dating relationships or marriage relationships or friendships. I mean, all of those things, they're really, if you don't have boundaries in place, it makes it much harder for you to be able to succeed in that relationship. Boundaries are also the key in us managing our time. They help us realize that, man, we can't, you know, do everything for everybody all the time. We don't have enough hours in the day. It helps us be able to prioritize those things. See, boundaries also are key in us managing our resources, and they help us lead a productive life. You think about a budget or a spending plan. Those are boundaries that help us be able to help tell our money what to do and what not to do, be able to control that and keep that in a boundary. Boundaries are really the keys for us to be able to say yes to things that bring us life and say no to the things that do not. If you're a parent, you recognize the value of boundaries with your kids. You probably have set boundaries for your kids. You've told them, hey, here's a curfew. You need to be home at this time and be here. And then you need to make sure you're not hanging out with this person, or I need to know where you're going, or here's where you can go and here's where you can't go. And even though I think at the time those were unreasonable and unfair, right? But the reality is, I think when we get older, we realize that, oh, no, those were good things. It was good things to have those boundaries in place for our kids to help them live our lives. And then as we grow up and as we become adults, we're thankful that we don't have to live by our parents' rules anymore, but sometimes we fail to set up boundaries for ourselves to help make the decisions in our life. We want control to finally get the things that we want to get. But the reality is that we put boundaries in there. It helps us have the self-control, make sure that we get what we really need. And boundaries are really important. I think it's important for us to have an informed decision. And if we set boundaries, that helps us inform that decision before it actually happens versus a quick reaction to the situations in front of us. So when we put boundaries in place, it helps us make those decisions. Titus 2:11-12 says this, "For the grace of God appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." If you will decide early on in your life what your boundaries will be, you're going to be a long ways along the road to being able to have self-control and be able to have those boundaries in place that helps your life never go out of bounds. So boundaries are a good thing. We need to realize and recognize our need for boundaries. Once we do that, we can move on to the second step. And the second step is that we need to define our boundaries. When you go to purchase a house, I don't know if anyone's done that lately, or maybe even to refinance your house, you get a stack of papers, all kinds of papers that you need to fill out and kind of look through. And if you read through those things, I think it probably gives you a year's reading or more, because you'll probably start reading and you'll fall asleep and whatever else. But there's all these papers that you have to sign. But really, there's so many good papers probably in there. And one of those papers that you need to sign is one that defines your property line, defines your property, tells you what the boundaries of your property are. And if you want to put a driveway in, it helps you say, okay, here's my property line. I know I can put my driveway in here and make sure that everything's good.
Well, I'm guessing the person that ended up putting this driveway in here didn't consult that document, because I think the neighbor found out where the boundary lines were, and it was nice enough to put a fence in there to show here's actually where the boundaries are. So he put a fence right down the middle of the driveway. So it's important for us to know where our boundaries are, right? But see, when I think we have boundaries, we understand that we have boundaries when it comes to our personal property, but I don't think we naturally have personal boundaries. Those are boundaries that we need to create. It's up to us to decide where those boundaries will be. We need to know where, gosh, okay, here I'm going to say yes to these things, but maybe even more importantly, I'm going to say no to these. Daniel was a young man in the Bible that was put in a situation that was outside his norm. And I'm going to give you a little bit of background for Daniel. It was about 605 BC, and the Babylonians had conquered Jerusalem, and they picked out some of the best and the brightest young people and took them to Babylon to learn the Babylonian ways and to become Babylonian citizens. And Daniel was one of them that was in that group. In Babylon, they taught Daniel their language, and they even gave him a Babylonian name, Belteshazzar. Now, Daniel had set boundaries, and he was totally secure in his faith in God. And although he went along with other changes that were going on, he would not eat the food that was forbidden by God. He wouldn't eat it. He wouldn't touch it. See, this food was dedicated to Babylonian gods, and he felt that he would be showing like he was worshiping those gods or giving into their ways if he would eat it. So Daniel wanted no part of it. So here's Daniel. He's got these two different parties asking him to do two different things in his life, and he had to make a decision. Sound familiar? Maybe for you, that's maybe if you're younger, you got some friends that want to go out or want to take you here, you want to go there, but you know there's certain responsibilities you have. Maybe there's homework that you need to get done, but you're like, but I want to go do this instead. But if you have boundaries in place that can help you with that, maybe even in your personal life, if you decide, man, okay, we've got this family night going on and we really want to enjoy this family, and everyone's been looking forward to it, but then you get asked to do something else or you're needing to go do something else someplace else, and they ask and you're like, I don't make it that priority for what I want to do there. Sometimes it is even internal struggles, things, small things like, hey, you know, you're on a diet and you really know you should choose that salad, but that pizza with extra cheese, oh, it smells so good. You're like, maybe we just go down that road. But to maybe even other bigger things and things that really have to do with the purpose of how you live out your life and things that you want to say yes to living out that purpose, but it's going to require you to say no to something that you really don't want to give up. For Daniel, he would either surrender his life to King Nebuchadnezzar or he would surrender his life to God, the God of the universe. For Daniel, the decision was really easy. And the reason why it was really easy, because the decision had already been made. He had already set and put in place boundaries. Daniel 1:8, but Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to him by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat those unacceptable foods. Don't miss this. This is how success begins and ends in this area. It begins in a decision to first define your boundaries so you know where they are. See, before Daniel even knew the consequences of a decision that he was gonna have to make, he'd already made up his mind. Daniel knew that he goes, if I do this, I'm gonna cross that boundary. If I do this, my life is gonna be out of bounds. Therefore, I cannot do it and I will not do it. Daniel trusted that if he honored God first, God would take care of him. And we see that God did. Boundaries are one of the things that define who we are as a person. And when we don't have them in place, it impacts the core of who we are and who we want to be. Just like a property line, boundaries help us establish where I end and where somebody else begins. I think sometimes we think that boundaries limit us, but when they actually free us to be who God has made us to be and what he's called us to do. See, boundaries also give us clarity on what we're responsible for and who we are responsible for. See, here's the deal. I think it's really important for us to lean in here. Boundaries let me know that I'm responsible to other people for my actions and my reactions. Let's start right there. I'm responsible to other people for my actions and my reactions, but I'm not responsible for other people and their actions or reactions. Let me say that once again. I'm responsible to other people for my actions and reactions, but I'm not responsible for other people and their actions or reactions.
Boundaries free us what I need to do within the confines of my own life, knowing that I'm going to need to take responsibility for that. And it gives me freedom to be who God has called me to be, not what someone else wants me to be. Boundaries are so vital that they distinguish our responsibility so then we can take care of that responsibility. Every day, you and I, we're going to be challenged to live within those boundaries. And each day, we have a choice. Are we going to stay within those boundaries, or are we going to go outside of them? All right? So the first two things. Well, first, we need to realize our need for boundaries, okay? And we're going to define our need for, or define our boundaries. And the last thing, and maybe the most important part of all of this, is that we need to surrender our boundaries to God. See, none of this is easy. You know, everybody know that saying, easier said than done. I think we look at that, that this is really, and it fits absolutely perfect here, that the Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans 7:15, and I love this verse. It says this, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Anybody resonate with that? Surrender. We need to surrender our boundaries because that's the only way we're going to be able to get there because we keep doing the things that we don't want to do. I think a lot of times we're just like Paul. Maybe we've set boundaries, but for some reason, we keep stepping outside of those boundaries. And that's why I think we need to surrender all of those boundaries to God. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us self-control. Counselor and author Dr. Gray Jantz wrote this about self-control, and I really think this is really good. He wrote this, self-control is not easy to come by, requiring a long view over instant gratification. That's a key. It requires a long view over instant gratification. It requires practice, patience, and perseverance. Self-control presupposes an intimate knowledge of self, knowing what is and what is not appropriate for you. If we want to see changes that heal in our lives, if we want to grow in this area of self-control, it requires practice, patience, and perseverance. And most of all, it requires our willingness to surrender over that control to God. One of the things that we talk about here is the core value is that we seek God desperately. And part of us seeking God desperately is to ask God to help us with these things, to ask him to have the Holy Spirit fill our lives so we can have that fruit of the Spirit of self-control. It's important for us to know God's word, to get into God's word, to study God's words, because God's word will not return void. And here's, I can tell you something, God will never, ever, ever, ever take you and your life out of bounds if you are listening to him. For us, in order for us to really live out our purpose and truly live out who we want to be, we need to lean on God. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to convict us, to guide us, to give us strength, to give us encouragement that we need to make the decisions that are according to the boundaries that we've set. We need to truly give up that control and ask the Holy Spirit to give us the self-control that we need. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you to do that today. I think it's so important for us to learn that, man, that next right decision for us, to even move on to the next day, is for us to get our life right with Jesus, to be able to ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. And you can do that from wherever you are. If you're online, you can do that as well. If you're here and you've never yet given your life to Christ, I want to encourage you to do that. All you got to do is say, God, I give up control. I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. I want to live this way, but I'm not able to. And I've been trying to do it all on my own. I've been trying to control everything that I can, but I know that I cannot. Father, I need you to guide me, to lead me. Holy Spirit, come into my life and fill me up. If you did that today, I want to encourage you to talk with one of us. If you're online, just indicate that you made that decision. Someone will follow up with you. It's so important for us to be able to do that, to be able to give our lives to Christ, to allow him to surrender those boundaries to him and ask for his help through this all. For all of us, I really want to invite us this next week to dive in together into a devotional on the Bible app.
that's called Boundaries 101. It's by Henry Cloud. And Henry Cloud leads this whole thing on this about changes that heal and does a really great job with it. But I want to encourage you, if you're not, encourage you to subscribe. There's a notes in your bulletin online that has the link where you can just click on that. If you're online, they'll post it in the comments as well. And be able to just jump on in the next 5 days. Let's go through this together and say, gosh, I want to take some steps in learning to how to set boundaries and to be able to be in control of what I can control. So here's the deal. We are living in some difficult times. And I realize that we are in the midst of a crisis with COVID-19. But the reality is I think there's even a bigger crisis that's on its way, if not even already here. And that crisis is this elimination or maybe even just a covering of boundaries that maybe we used to have in place that are no longer stopping what we say and what we do. Because the reality is I think all of this is kind of getting to us. And as we look at those changes that heal and look deep down inside and saying, what is really going on in me? There's so much that's going on inside as we're honest with ourselves. And we're like, what's going on, God? And I think that movement of boundaries and elimination of those boundaries is causing a crisis of relationship between people. There's so much more anger and so much more just a dissension that's going on, even the things that we mentioned in the scripture a little bit earlier. And I think that part of us is leaning into those things and going, God, what does this mean for me in my life? See, people have asked, you know, are these the end times that we're living in? And the reality is I don't know the answer to that question. But I can look at some of the things that Scripture says. And one of the things that I picked up this last week was just like what Paul writes in 2 Timothy. And he's talking about the dangers of the last days. And it says this, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. If we're serious about making changes in our life, changes that heal, I think we need to realize that one of the biggest enemies of tomorrow is something that we're doing today. One of the biggest enemies of tomorrow is something that we're doing today. So the question is, what are you going to do today? Because it's not about making perfect decisions every single day from here forward, but it's like looking at things and saying, how can I exhibit self-control today? If I'm in control of my actions or my reactions, how can I let that rule today so that tomorrow's a better day? See, we may not have the power to change others, but we do have the power to influence others through the changes they see in us. Let's commit to setting boundaries in our lives in order for us to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit to those around us of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and yes, self-control. Let's get good at these things. Because what if we were known by that? God says that, hey, they will know you are Christians by how you love. What if we were able to reflect that love to those around us as we come in contact on a daily basis? What if we can be that type of influence on our world? Let's learn about setting boundaries and having self-control. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you know the things that we are going through and that your desire and your willingness to be there, to be our rock, to be steadfast, to be our support is really what you want to be. God, I just pray that we lean in with you, that we look to you to surrender our boundaries, to be able to have that in our lives, to be able to help us make decisions that and do the things that we want to do and stop doing the things that we don't want to do. Father, I just pray for each of us that we will be able to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit of self-control, that we'll be known by that as we learn to let others know about you and learn to love you as well.
Thanks for checking out this week's message. If you'd like to get involved here at Northern Hills, check out our website at inhills.org or download the Northern Hills app. We hope to see you again soon.